Welcome to the Weekend Messages podcast from Outpost Church Ministries and Pastor Philip Gonzalez. Our mission is to drive back the darkness by helping people flourish for the glory of God, and we hope this message helps you do just that. We'd love to get to know you, so visit us online at outpostchurch.org to find more ways to connect, give, and grow. And remember, you matter to Jesus, so you matter to us. And if you're in Christ, then you are an outpost of the kingdom of God.
I am looking forward to a new year because I believe, and let me just say this too. This isn't preacher talk. Like, have you noticed sometimes there's like a preacher talk thing where there's a certain set of things that you say and it's all usually happy. It's usually like, yeah, but I really believe that 2017 has within it the seed of potential for the best year yet. Yeah. Now here's the thing. The other day I got a chance to visit my buddy Bob. Hi, Bob. And Bob showed me his coconut that he had planted in the ground. Now, I didn't realize, some of you knew this already, if you knew already that a coconut is a seed in and of itself. Would you just raise your hand? Okay, so less than half. So I don't feel so bad. I found out that a coconut is actually a seed. And Bob, you said that you found this coconut sitting in the canal for a few months, right? And then you got it and you put it in a ditch for a couple more months. And then you planted it in the ground and it's been sprouting a coconut tree. You know what really I love about that? Watch this. You may feel like there's something in your life that's in the back canal, that's in the side ditch, that's been lost, that's been tossed aside, that nothing's happening. I want to tell you that I believe by faith God is working in the background. And 2017 can be the year. You may not see the whole tree sprout up at once, because sometimes the greatest trees take the longest time. But I believe it's a year of fresh beginnings. It's a year of sprouts, things coming up that you may not have even known were there. I didn't even know that the coconut had the seed within it. You may find things in 2017 you didn't even know were there. But I believe that God is going to bring fruit to bear in your life. Amen? Amen. Now, we have a PowerPoint, I think. Is it working, Mr. Nick? We're starting a series called, read it with me, All In. And the subtitle, I love subtitles. They explain what, it lets me pick kind of abstract titles and then explain it, right? How 2017 can be your best year yet. Now, we'll go into this in just a minute, but I got to say, this guy, he's all in for whatever he's doing, right? My wife put together the graphics package. I don't know where she found this photo. I don't know where they found this guy, but you would not see me jumping out in that. Maybe this is one of those, like, he jumps out of a plane and someone throws a parachute after him and he catches. I don't know what that is, but I do know he's all in. Turn to your neighbor, tell him he's all in. He's all in. He's all in. Now, obviously, you may be familiar with the phrase all in from the game of
poker,
right? A couple nights ago, I was playing cards with my family at my parents' house. We were not playing poker. I'm actually terrible at poker. Something about no good poker face. I'm just real sincere. The biggest reason is I forget how the hands, like, which is like a three pair. Is that more or less than a royal flush? And which, I don't know which, anyway. So we were playing another game called Skip-Bo. Anybody played Skip-Bo? I love that game. It's so fun, except that it takes a while. And sometimes I'm tired. And have you ever been in that spot when you're playing a nice family game and you get so late into it that you're just like, oh, let it be done already? Have you done that? Right? So we're there and we had a great time, but towards the end you can tell that certain people in our little circle are just like, oh, just let it be over with. It's kind of throwing cards, not making good choices, because they just want it to be done. You know what game you don't do that with? Life. You know what other, see, that's a way better answer than I was going to say. I was just going to say poker. Because poker, you've got something on the line. Now, some of you might say, no, I play poker without betting. Great, that's like having a hamburger without the meat. Right? Like, take some, it's just like, what's the point, right? Come on. But here's the thing. Skip-Bo, we could throw the game, just get it done, because we had nothing to lose. Poker, if you're playing it right, you don't throw that hand. If you're going to go all in, that means you could lose it all, But watch this, you could also gain it all in. Now, we're talking about this idea of being all in. Here's the working definition I want to share with you. All in is being fully committed with no turning back. I wonder, what would 2017 look like for you if you were fully committed with no turning back in the things that matter most? None of this straddle on the fence. None of this, I'll try it out for a little bit and see if it works. But going all in, fully committed, no turning back in the things that matter most. I believe that might make it your best year yet. It's interesting, as I was preparing this message, I saw a headline that popped up on my Apple News feed. Headline from an article. And here was the headline. Let me show you. The headline was, "Choose flourish as your word for 2017. And I love that, right? Because that's what we're about, right? If you haven't seen the program guide lately, we're all about helping people what? Flourish for the glory of God. So I wanted to read you, I thought it was interesting. I read the article, it's by a guy named Robert Taylor. He's the president of the Desmond Tutu Peace Foundation. I gotta say, that's a great name for a peace foundation, because you just can't be mad and say tutu at the same time. That just can't happen, right? So let me read you a couple paragraphs. I thought this is really, really neat. He says, imagine flourishing. To choose to flourish is an intentional act to increase your well-being in a profound way, improve your health, and extend your longevity. Now, imagine choosing flourish as your daily word for 2017 to anchor your life and sense of purpose. I love how he said your daily word. I don't know what life he lives. I have way more than one word every day that I use, but that's okay. To choose to flourish is a bold affirmation of your life and continued emergence as a person. Your chosen word of flourish will present inevitable roadblocks from the competing choice to keep clutching on to what you think you know. As a noun, clutching references a hand or a claw that is grasping and exercising a tight grip or hold. Your familiarity of clutching at life may feel safe, but it is no life at all, because it leaves little mental, heart, spiritual, or physical space to be luxuriant about the one unique life that you have. You know, I read that, this juxtaposition of clutching and then committing to flourish. And I thought about the Muppet Christmas Carol. Our family loves Christmas movies, and we watch them. Who's seen the Muppet Christmas Carol? Right? Who's seen any version of the Christmas Carol with Ebenezer Scrooge? Right? One of the greatest opening lines in any movie is they're talking about, they set the stage, they say, Ebenezer Scrooge, a clutching, grasping soul of a man. And of course, if you've seen the Muppet Christmas Carol, Michael Caine, great actor, strides onto the scene, and this idea of clutching and grasping, and I wonder how many things in our life, if we were to get honest, we'd say, there's some things I'm kind of clutching. Maybe God's been telling you it's time to release that grip, but I'm not ready to let go of that grudge. I'm not ready to let go of that worry. I'm not ready to let go of that habit. I'm not ready to let go of that person and trust God can take care of them more than I can. Clutching versus flourishing. He goes on, last part here. People who clutch typically hold on to regrets over work or life. Both of these forms of clutching drive and keep you from life itself. Now watch this. Research from Yale School of Medicine indicates that holding on to regrets activates similar brain function responses found in hoarders. You know what a hoarder is? Right? It's one thing to save something for a rainy day. It's another thing to save 10,000 things for a sunny day and a rainy day and a cloudy day and everything else, right? Similar brain function. Such behavior causes people to become socially isolated. In contrast, one study shows that when you stop clutching, your longevity improves. To flourish is a choice. Everybody say choice. Choice for your well-being. The verb flourish is about thriving and growing luxuriantly. It's about being in a vigorous state and creating conditions for being in your prime. I love that. Creating conditions for being in your prime. Again and again, when we read Scripture, we read story after story of people whom God called and invited into a grand process, but He always gave them the opportunity to take the step of faith, to partner with Him, or to stand back and do nothing. See, stepping into 2017, here's my hope for you and for me, that we will be a people who take the steps to create the conditions for flourishing, not because God is unable to do it without our help, but because He loves to have us partner with Him in the process. Flourishing. I wonder, are you playing it safe or going all in? And I wonder if our lives in 2017 might look a little different if we chose to live fully committed with no turning back in the things that matter most. Now, question, of course. Great, thanks for that. Where do we start? Well, let's start with Jesus. A good place? If you have a Bible, turn with me to Luke chapter 2, verse 41 through 42. And while we do, I want to tell you a story. Several years ago, by several, I mean like 30. I was a small boy in a big airport. The airport was DFW. How many have been to Dallas-Fort Worth International Airport? Anybody? It's only one of the most massive airports in the world. Now, I didn't know that at the time. I just knew there's a lot of people way taller than me that probably should shave their legs because they're really hairy in Texas. But so I was there with my dad, and we were going to pick up a family member, and we're walking along through the terminal, and we're, you know, in a hurry because we're, you know, behind a little bit. And I was thirsty. And if you're a little boy who's 5 or 6 and you get thirsty, what do? Stop and get water. What do you sometimes forget to do? Tell your dad that you're stopping and getting water. So that's what I did. Oh, look, water fountain. Where's my father? I don't know. So I start, I'm concerned. And I remembered in my little 6-year-old brain or whatever. Was I 6? I think I was 6. Was I 4? I was 4. Okay. Felt like I was 6 because I talked a lot. Surprising, I know, right? So I remembered that my parents had told me, if you get lost or have a problem in a public place, go talk to the customer service counter. Now, of course, I was too young to know that sometimes if you go and talk to the customer service counter, they don't do any kind of service at all. In fact, they make your life terribly worse, and you just go away frustrated because they're not listening to you. We're doing what you need. I'm sorry. Never mind. I'm sure y'all never had bad experiences with Comcast. All right. Anyway. Too personal? Okay. So I found myself there. I go. Now listen, I was fully committed, no turning back, to finding that customer service counter. Because I knew that's where I needed to go to get reconnected with my dad. Gratefully, he eventually came, and it was all fine. Now, the reason I bring up that story is because we're about to see a story of Jesus getting lost for a way better reason with a way more profound result. If you have the Bible, follow along as we read in Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 41. Every year, his parents, that is Jesus' parents, Mary and Joseph, traveled to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. When he was 12 years old, they went up according to the custom of the festival. Now, pause. You need to know that the Passover festival in Jerusalem was all of the energy and excitement and chaos of Mardi Gras in New Orleans, except without all the debauchery, hopefully. It's a mess. It's not like a, you know, hometown parade. People from all over the country flooded in to Jerusalem. In fact, that's why, you know, we see like when Jesus was born, it was around one of those festival seasons, but you couldn't get a place to stay. You couldn't. So think massive metropolis, significantly overstuffed. And that's the environment that we find our hero in right here. Verse 43. After those days were over, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Assuming he was in the traveling party, they went a day's journey. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. By the way, let's not judge Mary and Joseph too harshly. extended family, aunts, uncles, cousins, everyone. I'm sure he's with them somewhere, right? That's just kind of how it goes. Verse 46. After 3 days, they found him in the temple complex, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all those who heard him were astounded at his understanding and his answers. One more side note. I've always read that, and I always wonder, okay, 3 days, where did Jesus sleep? Like, where, he's like hanging out in the temple. Just like, how did he eat? Did, like, some nice old priest say, oh, look, a little boy. I'll feed you, little boy. I don't know. When I get to heaven, probably not even going to think about asking that. But I think about it now. Okay. When his parents saw him, verse 48, they were astonished, and his mother said to him, son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you. That was funny. You should have laughed. Okay. Why were you searching for me? He asked them. Watch this. Didn't you know that I had to be in my father's house? He didn't say wanted to be. He said I had to be. But they did not understand what he said to them. Then he went down with them, came to Nazareth, and was obedient to them. Yeah, kids, keep that in mind. Jesus obeyed his parents. His mother kept all these things in her heart, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with people. I wonder, while Jesus' parents are freaking out, he's totally calm and collected. And I know it's easy to read stories of Jesus and then play like the God card. Well, of course, he's calm and collected. He's God. But remember, part of the whole point of the incarnation, of Jesus coming in the flesh, was his voluntarily surrendering access to his godhood and putting it on the shelf so that he could experience life fully as a human, right? He didn't cheat. He engaged just like we did. How could Jesus be so calm and collected in this moment? I believe we find a clue right here in the text. He said, didn't you know? He said, I had to be in my father's house. Listen, Jesus was calm and collected because he knew this is why I'm here. He had a strong sense of this is why I'm here. And he carried that strong sense with him all of his life. In fact, fast forward a couple chapters, Luke 2:42. Luke 4:42. Three times I had to correct that. It'll be on the screen here if you want. When it was day, now Jesus is a grown-up now. He's out. He's teaching, preaching, doing his thing. When it was day, he went out and made his way to a deserted place, but the crowds were searching for him. They came to him and tried to keep him from leaving them. So they want him to stay. Hey, Jesus, we have a good thing going here. This is a great place. You should just stay here. How many know sometimes the people around you want you to stay here, but God's saying to you, it's time to go there. Watch this. He said to them, I must proclaim the good news about the kingdom of God to the other towns also because I was sent for this. What's that word? Purpose. I was sent for this purpose. One more. John 6:38. He says this, a real brief phrase, but with a lot of power. He says, I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. All through his life, Jesus had a sense, this is why I'm here. And it's that sense that was what we call purpose. Purpose. Here's the big idea for tonight. My encouragement to you. We want to go all in the coming year. Here's, I believe, a great place to start. If you want 2017 to be your best year yet, you have to find your purpose. Find your purpose. Find your purpose. I'm not a particularly handy man around the house. I can try to fix stuff, and sometimes Heather wishes I wouldn't because I break it. So I can put up pictures on the wall, and I can do thumbtacks like a boss. But I found out sometimes if I'm trying to put in a push pin or something or a little nail, sometimes it's like a stud, right? Have you had that happen when you're trying to put something in? Maybe you want to find a stud. I should be real careful how I say that phrase. But the problem is, because I don't do a lot of handy stuff, I don't have a hammer in the house. I have one in the car. I carry it with me in the car because God knows sometimes you're driving, you need a hammer. But that's... anyway. But I did have, one day I was putting up something and I needed a hammer and I didn't want to go to the car. I found a solution. You want to see my solution? Watch this. This is, no, that's a silly idea. A metal Texas box. Now, normally I keep things like push pins and paper clips and other things that I just don't have the ability to throw away in here. But I found out, man, I could, look at this. I can wrap my fingers around it and it's heavy. And I used this and I was able to like pound in the, how many think that that may have worked kind of, but it was really not a very good solution. Right, right. Why? Because hammering things is not the what? Purpose of this device. This is a box. You put stuff in it, not hit stuff with it. Unless you have a home invasion, in which case just put a hurting on somebody. But I found out that if I am flowing in my purpose, I'll function in more power. Or flip it around. Watch this. Next slide. We can say it this way. If you're not walking in your purpose, you're not living with full power. See, if it was a hammer that I had, guess what? The hammer is designed for a purpose, and it's got the power to accomplish it. It's got the leverage, it's got the handle, it's got all the pieces it needs. I was using this box to try to hammer something in. I was using this box not according to its purpose, so I wasn't working with full power. Listen, you got things in your life that maybe you're doing. They're not sinful, they're not wrong, they're not evil, but they're not yours. You may be doing something that your parents told you needed to get done, or that someone around you said was important, but you may be doing things that are spinning your wheels, doing stuff that ain't bad, but they ain't yours. And my encouragement to you and my reminder to myself is 2017 is a year to find my purpose, your purpose. Do the things that God has called you to do, because if you're not walking in your purpose, you're not living with full power. In fact, I could tell you this way. A few months ago, our 2001 Honda CR-V started to shake. A little shimmy, shimmy, shake, shake, shimmy, shimmy, shake. That was, you know, if we were having a dance party in the car, that'd be one thing, but we weren't. We're trying to get places. And I found out that it was the engine that had one of the cylinders that was misfiring. One of the gaskets on the top, it was a whole big mess. So we were running on three cylinders in our four-cylinder car. Have you ever had that happen in a car? One of the cylinders goes bad. It's not like you can't get from point A to point B, but you're not living with full power. Full power. Tell your neighbor, you need the power. You need the power. You need the power. So that's what purpose is for. But then, of course, the question is, once again, great. Thank you, Pastor Philip. How do I find my purpose? How many would like to know how? Right? Of course. Good news. We have some answers for that. Now, if you want to find your purpose, you got to start, I would argue, start general and wind it into the specific. Because did you know that there are some specific things that God has designed all people to do? For instance, breathing, very good, right? Eating, always, yeah. All people do that. There are some purpose things that God designed all people to do. Some of you are thinking, what comes after eating? Yeah, I'm not going to say that. But. All right, now, so let me show you three things, three keys to a proper purpose. If you're taking notes, you can fill in the blanks here. Here's the first thing. I believe that if you want to have a proper purpose, key number one, did I have key number one in there? Aha. Genesis 1, 26 through 30. Is there not one? A proper purpose brings order to chaos. There it is. There it is. There's no number one in there. That's no number one. Yeah. My bad. A proper purpose brings order to chaos. Order to chaos. You can fill that in. Let me show you from Scripture. In the book of Genesis, we see the initial instructions that God gives humanity. If you have a Bible, turn to Genesis 1, chapter 1, verses 26 through 30. Here's what it says. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. They will rule the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, the animals, all the earth, and the creatures that crawl on the earth." So God created man in his own image. He created him in the image of God. He created them male and female. God blessed them, and God said to them, here it is, "Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it. rule the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky and every creature that crawls on the earth. And God also said, look, I've given you every seed-bearing plant on the surface of the entire earth and every tree whose fruit contains seed. This will be food for you, for all the wildlife of the earth and for every bird of the sky and for every creature that crawls on the earth, everything having the breath of life in it. I've given you every green plant for food. And it was so. And God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. Everybody say very good. Very good. First time in the Genesis account that it says very good instead of just good. So he says, listen, I want you to do four things. I want you to be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it. The second area, 2:15 right here, Genesis 2:15, just a brief verse. The Lord God took the man and placed him in the garden to work it. Everybody say work it. Work it, work it, work it. And then watch over it. So watch. The initial template for humanity is that mankind is to enter into this world that has been created and is to take the wildness and the chaos and is to bring it into order, to cultivate it into beauty, to create something wonderful out of the materials that God has given them. And they do this with people. Right, be fruitful and multiply. They do this with animals. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and the rest. They do this with creation itself. Subdue it. We actually find this as a reflection. Watch this. It's a reflection of who God is. Look at how Paul says it in 1 Corinthians 14:33. He says it this way. God is not a God of disorder, but of peace. Listen, if you want to find your purpose, you got to realize God has invited you to be a, watch this, co-creator with him, that you have been designed to participate in the creative act that is constantly happening, that as you enter into your world, that God has called you to look at the chaos around you and you can participate in bringing it into order to chaos. A proper purpose brings order to chaos. Number two, second key, a proper purpose blesses people. God, what's the purpose of my life? Well, whatever it is, it's got to have something to do with blessing people. Because if the purpose of my life is to make life miserable for as many people as I can, I don't think that's a godly proper purpose, right? I don't think God's sitting up saying, you know, the world has way too many nice guys. We need to create some jerks, and their purpose will be to make the nice guys look better. No, somebody said to me once, I have the spiritual gift of sarcasm. I said, no, you don't. You may have sarcasm, but that ain't a spiritual gift, man. It blesses people. If you want a proper... Now, I'm not saying there's not a place for a little helpful sarcasm here and there. Or am I? Now, this is also like God. Watch this. In Genesis 50, verse 20, we see the culmination of the story of Joseph. Most of us know Joseph. Joseph sold into slavery by his brothers, gone through ups and downs. God's been with him the whole way. And at the end of it all, Joseph is raised up to be second most powerful man in the most powerful nation on earth. Joseph's brothers come and they're all freaked out because they're like, hey, he's probably going to get revenge. But here's what Joseph says, Genesis 50, verse 20. He says, you planned evil against me. God planned it for good to bring about the present result. My awesomeness, my comfort, and my joy. Oh, wait, is that what it says? No. God planned it to bring about the present result, the survival of many people. God brought Joseph up. God raised Joseph up. God gave Joseph favor and power and wealth and wisdom and access and influence and opportunity, not just so Joseph could have a good old time, but so that he could share the good with others. And this is also like God, because listen, God cares about people, all people. That's why we have that verse that people know, right? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God cares about people. If you want to have a purpose, you want to find your purpose, you got to know that a proper purpose blesses people. Third thing, a proper purpose, we see echoes of this previously, but a proper purpose is bigger than you. It is. What's the purpose of my life? Whatever it is, it's more than your life. We find this stated so concisely. I mean, you could pull any number of stories out of Scripture to support this, but just a real concise verse that I think really encapsulates it. Watch this, 1 Corinthians 10:31. Paul, writing to the church at Corinth. Corinth was a city of options. Corinth was a city of well-to-do people. Corinth was a city that was cosmopolitan and filled with influences of culture, and it was filled with cuisine and cultural experiences from any number of places because it was a trading center and it was one of the crossroads in the Roman Empire. And Paul says to these people who had access to all sorts of things to eat, things to drink, things to do, Paul says, therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do everything for what? God's glory. God's glory. This is like God as well, who draws all things together for the purpose of magnifying His glory in humanity. In fact, it's like Jesus. Watch this, John 14:12-14. Jesus, remember I told you, Jesus knew this is why I'm here. And this is what Jesus said. He said, I assure you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do. And he will do even, what's that word? Yes. Greater works than these, because I'm going to the Father, right? Side note, he's going to the Father not because he's abandoning us, because he's sending the Holy Spirit to live within us and be upon us and work through us. It's a whole other sermon, man. That's a good one. All right, 13, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. Period. End of sentence. Yes or no? No. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. What's that word? So, two letters that change everything, right? So that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it, right? Jesus knew that the focal point of his life is the same as the focal point of your life and mine, to bring glory to God. That the purpose of your life and mine is bigger than us. In fact, it is cosmic in scope. Listen, that God has chosen, he's made quasars and galaxies and black holes and all sorts of things. And I'm not going to say he doesn't care about them, because he cares about everything, but he didn't choose those things to be the greatest testimony of his goodness and grace. He chose you as the ultimate reflection of his glory. And the only question is, what kind of a mirror are you, and what kind of a mirror am I? The purpose must be bigger than me and bigger than you. And it's for the purpose of his glory, but then also to bless others. And we saw that in point number two. So to recap, three things. A proper purpose. Say, when I have purpose in 2017, great. Proper purpose needs to do three things. It needs to bring order to chaos. Needs to bless people. And it's got to be bigger than you. Now, at first, maybe this seems a little overwhelming, because there's a whole lot of chaos in the world. You noticed? And there's sometimes a whole lot of people that are hard to bless. And sometimes it's hard for us to think any bigger than us, not because we're being selfish, but sometimes it's just hard when our own life has things to deal with. Let me give you some encouragement. Who wants some encouragement? Like encouragement? Watch this. Well, let me introduce you to my friend Chad. Next slide. This is Chad. Anybody remember Chad? Chad was a spokesperson, actor for a mobile phone company called Alltel. Anybody remember Alltel? I had an Alltel phone. Now, Alltel was a pretty big, it was like the third or fourth biggest mobile phone company in the early 2000s, I think. And they were bought out by Verizon, some other stuff, and other stuff bought out by AT&T. But Alltel introduced this fascinating concept, and they called it, you can see it here, My Circle. My Circle. And when I was in high school, to this day I have no idea why, I had two phones, because I was just that important in high school. I had my regular phone, which was business? I don't even know. I didn't have a business. But I had this other phone. For some reason, I decided that I was going to take my money from my part-time jobs and I was going to get a second phone. Why? Because Alltel had this My Circle feature. And here's what it was. It gave you unlimited calling to the five people you talk to most. Right now, maybe you remember, it didn't used to be unlimited talk and texts. You used to have to pay for that stuff, right? So this was revolutionary because it focused my call time on the five people that mattered most. I don't remember who they were at this point. It was high school. I don't remember what in the world I had to talk about at that age, right? And it's nothing important. But I did it. And my circle helped to focus my attention on the people that mattered most. My circle made it great. Now, here's the good news. Here's the good news. Watch this. God will only call you to the circle that He gives you. Say purpose, talking about bring order to chaos and bless people, and it's bigger than me. But you know what? He'll still only call you to the circle that He gives you. You don't have to go out and cure cancer or stop, insert big social problem here, right? You don't have to be the savior of your entire family. You don't have to pay for, God has given you a circle, and it's right-sized for you right now. And you can be confident that anything and any person God brings into your circle, He has given you the ability to influence for good. He only calls you to the circle that He gives you. Now, over time, He may enlarge that circle. Over time, He may contract that circle, and that's not a loss. That's not going backwards. There's a season for everything. Turn. And a time for everything under heaven, right? Thank you, birds. There is, man. But He's only going to call you to the circle that he gives you. I could show it to you a different way. Let me show you a picture. I told you I play Pokemon Go sometimes, right? This is Pokemon Go, right? Fun little game I play every now and then. My son wishes I'd play it more. I just don't care that much, but I do it. So watch this. Who wants to guess which one of these is my character? The one that looks like looks just like me, right? Notice what is around him. What is that? It's a circle, right? Very good. Someone's paying attention. Go, Devin. It's a circle. And part of the point of the game is that everywhere I walk, you know what happens to that circle? It goes with me. And as I walk around, that circle will reveal new and exciting Pokemon or other things, right? Watch this. Once I move out, they disappear. You know why? Because they're outside of my circle. Listen, you need to know that God is calling you only to do one thing. Be an impact in your circle. You don't got to be in someone else's circle. You don't got to solve someone else's problem. You don't have to go fix someone else's life. Just be faithful to follow where your circle leads. So here's what it looks like for me. Talking about bringing order to chaos. Talking about blessing people. One of the things I love to do, big shocker here, I love to go to Starbucks. And this is the time of year when I get to do it more because people give me gift cards sometimes. Not a lot this year, but the year's still going. So I go to Starbucks, and here's what happened a long time ago. I just felt the Lord speaking to me and saying, this is my mission at Starbucks. I make the baristas feel like people that matter. I do everything I can. Here's my goal, right? When my circle goes into that door, here's what I want to happen. And by God's grace, usually does. Everybody smiles because Philip's here. And it's not because I'm doing amazing Philip things. It's because I'm showing them who Jesus is. Yeah. You know, when Jesus enters a room, people smile. You know, when Jesus enters a situation, things change. You know, when Jesus enters a situation, chaos is brought into order. People are blessed and things happen that are bigger than them. And that's all God's calling you to do. Find the purpose for your life that as your circle travels with you, God's power works through you, through you. Here's my purpose. I spent some time really praying through and working through this. There was a whole long process I'm going to tell you about in a minute, but this is my purpose statement for my life, my mission, why I'm here, to encourage people to do things that matter and empower teams to succeed. That's my personal purpose statement, right? I found out to encourage means to inspire with hope. I gotta say, man, I've been in some church services that preach the word of God faithfully, but they don't inspire me with hope. I'm here to inspire with hope. Is it working sometimes? A little bit? Okay. Yeah. And yet, I don't want to just leave people with a good feeling. I want to help people find a way to do things that matter. You know what? Love matters. You know, worship matters. Truth matters. Service matters. Coffee matters. Not as much. I want to encourage people to do things that matter and empower teams to succeed. One of the things that's started to come up on my radar is the opportunity to do a little bits of things here and there with other churches to bless them and help them in different ways. So you may know we take the band every week and we get a chance to go to Legacy Church that doesn't have a music ministry. We get a chance to bless them. And so I love going and working with whether it's churches or organizations to help their teams succeed. I get a great joy out of that. That's my personal purpose statement. So my question then is, do you want to find yours? Because I believe, side note before I tell you what I believe, another thing I believe, a lot of beliefs. How many know that in the military, sometimes the mission changes? And that's not a failure. It's just a shift. Sometimes the mission may change in your life. You may have a mission to a particular career calling, and then something happens in your family. It's time to let that mission be completed and redevote yourself to those closest to you. Sometimes you may have a mission in a particular place, and God tells you it's time to move to another one. Missions change. But having clarity about what's your purpose, what's your mission for right now, is one of the most powerful, I don't want to say guarantees because that's an awfully big word, but it's one of the most powerful influencers of the year that lies ahead of you. If you can find out what your purpose is, we talked about general, want to dial it in specific, I believe 2017 could be your best year yet. Let me show you this. Next slide. There's a resource called the GPS Life Journey. You can find info at gpslifejourney.com. Information is also in your program guide. You can see it there. It's an 8-week small group. Starts on January 20th. It's put out by, it was designed over the period of several years by a man named Nolan Rollins. He's a pastor at Legacy Church, a friend of mine. And Nolan has been in ministry for longer than I've been alive. So he knows a thing or two. But I got a chance to go through this process. And it's 8 weeks. Seems like a long time. Let me tell you, if you're going to go all in, you got to go all in. And going through this process was enormously helpful for me to start looking through who am I really? And what am I good at? And what do I love? And how does this, and going through the process gave me great clarity for my purpose and has produced a great deal of positive momentum in my life. Now, here's the thing. The class is $99, but they're going to give us, I told you, all in, man. But they're going to give us a special price, $49. For any of our Outposts people who want to participate. And I'm going to take it a step further, and I'm going to say, if you want to participate in this, if you want to go all in and discover your purpose this year, we at the church, we'll pay half of it. We'll pony up half so that you, if you can come up with $25, you can go through this amazing process and discover your life purpose. That's how much I believe in it. And if you want to do that, you can get more info at gpslifejourney.com. If you think, you know what, I want to do this, I'm going to encourage you to take your program guide. We have a response card. And full disclosure, I'll be pitching this for the next 3 weeks. So if you forget tonight, you'll have time. But just write, I would like to be a part of GPS. Write, tear it off, put it in the generous bucket, and we'll get back with you. But I believe in this so much, we're willing to pay half to help you discover your purpose. Because when you discover your purpose, you'll be able to flow in God's power. Power. Now, that said, I wanted to share with you that we've talked about general purpose. We've talked about a resource you can go through a process to discover your particular purpose. I want to tell you, there's actually, aside from this process, there's actually one key thing that you can discover that will act as a compass. Anybody used a compass before? Like turn around and it points you in the right direction. It's not always a GPS that gives you turn by turn, but it's a compass that points you in the right direction. So, sound like a good idea to find out? Come back next week, because that's when we're going to talk about the one key thing you can find to point you towards your personal purpose. See what I did there? Let the hook. Now, three things to consider as we close. Three things. I think we have them on the thing. Questions for you to prayerfully consider. I'm going to ask the band to come back up for a minute. In the meantime, ask yourself these three questions with a heart towards what is happening in the coming year. God, how am I bringing order to chaos? And listen, let me be clear. I don't mean that every situation gets tied up in a nice bow every time. Sometimes things take time. How am I bringing order to chaos? Let this be a prayer this week. Number two, who am I blessing on a regular basis? Is there anybody in your life that you could say, yeah, that I am a blessing to them, and they would say that I am? Number three, what am I contributing to that's bigger than me? Those three questions, I believe, will have the way of focusing our hearts on the things that matter most in 2017. And so let's make this our prayer, that God would help us all to go all in, fully committed, no turning back, to discover our purpose and live in such a way that brings order to chaos, that blesses people and brings glory to Him. And if we do, I truly believe that 2017 can be our best year yet. Let's pray. Father, I thank You that You have called us sons and daughters of the King, not because of our performance, not because of our capabilities or our talents, but simply because You chose to give us Your love by the blood of Your Son. Thank You that You've given us amazing grace. Thank You that no matter how we perform, You will still love us, because Your acceptance of us depends on the work of Jesus, not our own work. And Lord, at the same time, I thank You that You give us opportunity to discover and live with purpose, and that when we live in that purpose, it truly is the greatest kind of life. And so, Father, I pray as we stand on the edge of this new year, for each one of us, You would put in our hearts the deep desire to go all in to find our purpose, to go all in to commit to You, Lord, this year, and that this will indeed be our best year yet. We love You, Lord. We praise You. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. As always, we want to close with a song, and I invite you to just respond. In a moment, we'll invite those who'd like to stand. You don't have to, but afterwards, our prayer team, I'm assuming, will be available in our prayer area over there. And maybe for you tonight, you've heard something and say, you know what, I really want to talk to somebody more. I need someone to pray with me about getting over some things. And if that's you, then join our prayer team tonight. Before we sing, though, and before we go into our closing, we want to take a few minutes and do something that we do regularly, probably not as often as we should, but to remind us how Jesus went all in for us. Jesus was fully committed to the will of the Father and to your salvation. Fully committed, no turning back, and we remember that as we participate in the Lord's Supper and communion. And I'd like to ask if you wouldn't mind, and Clayton, if you would. Over in this area, we have the elements. They've been prepared. Thank you, Nick and Sarah. We're going to take a few minutes, and we're going to take communion together and remember the broken body and shed blood of our Savior. Here's what the Bible says. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul says that what I received, I also passed on to you. That Jesus, on the night in which He was betrayed, took bread and broke it, and said, this is My body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of Me. And in the same way, after supper, He took also the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in My blood. Drink it in remembrance of Me. And then Paul goes on to write, for as often as you do this, you remember the body and the blood of our Lord. And he goes on to say, but let us not eat and drink unworthily, for let a person examine themselves so that we don't eat unworthily and incur judgment. For if someone eats and drinks without discerning the body, they eat and drink judgment on themselves. What's that about? I really believe when you look at the content and the context, when Paul talks about discerning the body, he's just spent time before and he's going to spend time afterwards talking about how God's people are the body of Christ. And he's reminding us that as we partake in this ceremony, remembering the sacrifice Jesus made for us, we're invited to remember that he calls us to make those sacrifices for others, for one another, to go all in, not just alone, but to go all in together. So as we continue to pass out the elements, we'll give a few moments and ask the Lord to speak to our hearts. Lord, is there anything that needs to be changed? Anything that needs to be turned from? Anything that needs to be turned to? And let's take these moments here and prepare. Lord Jesus, we stand on the edge of a new year, and we thank you that you, on that night when you gathered with your disciples, Lord, you stood on the edge of death, of betrayal, of suffering. But Lord, you stood on the edge of that, and you boldly stepped into it. You walked through the valley of the shadow of death. And Lord, you experienced the evil so that we wouldn't have to. You went through the veil of death, but you didn't stay down. You rose from death to declare victory and freedom for all who come and by faith are brought into your family. And so, Lord, we come and we remember your sacrifice, and we thank you for your sacrifice, Lord, and we thank you that your death was not the end, but it was truly the beginning of our life. And so, Lord, now we remember once again that you took the bread and you said that this is your body broken for us. So now, Lord, we take this bread and we do this in remembrance of you. Jesus, in the same way as you did, we also take the cup, remembering that it is your blood spilled on our behalf for our forgiveness, for our healing, for our raising to life. Now we receive this cup in remembrance of you. Lord, we thank you. Let us look to the future and remember that in the same way that this old year is passing away and a new year is coming, you have called us new creations in Christ. The old things have gone and the new things are continuing to come. Lord, let us approach this new year, Father, with hope, with courage, and with the reminder that you are the one who stood on our behalf to give us the power to stand for you.
Hi friends, Pastor Philip here, and thanks for joining us today. If you've been blessed, we'd love to know. Please leave a review on iTunes or Facebook, or email us at connect@outpostchurch.org. Also, if you'd like to contribute to this ministry, you can send a text message with any amount to 84321, or just visit outpostchurch.org/give. Thanks again for tuning in. We'll see you next time.